My name is Matt Sokup, and I'm a cloud advocate at Microsoft. And today, I'm really honored to be here, and I'm really excited to be talking about microservices with my new friend, Monica Tamboli. Hey, Monica, how's it going today?
Good. I'm excited to be here.
So I was able to watch your session from the conference, and it was amazing. But before we dive into it and talk about microservices, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and about your background?
Sure. Once again, I'm Monica Tamboli. I work for IBM. Currently, I'm leading a test team, which is responsible for multiple products, including application server runtimes and some application modernization tools. So my team is responsible for having different kind of applications from monolithic applications to microservices to represent our diverse customers, as our customers are on their modernization journey, but at different stages. So we have to have a wide range of applications that way. So that was the motivation behind this talk. So talking about what I discussed in the talk in AgW session is, Matt, you would agree that these days companies' application software is under continuous demand to change, right? Let's take an example of e-commerce applications. They have to make sure, like, can you afford downtime? Probably not. That translates to millions of dollars. What about scaling, right? You have Black Friday events, you have Cyber Mondays, so scaling for those events. And what about the new features, right? We need the new features quickly, can't wait for weeks. So I talked about how microservices architecture might be able to help either modernize your existing applications or when you create your new application, something to think about. Here, microservices mean where you want to have your applications divided into small, loosely coupled services as opposed to monolith application where you put everything deploy as a big chunk. So, and in this session, actually, I took analogy of a family, how over the years, our families have modernized or transformed into where, we earlier, it used to be tightly coupled families. Now we are more like moms are working outside, the men are helping in household activities, kids have their own responsibilities. So similarly, this is the approach for software applications.
Right, and I'm glad you brought up the e-commerce example, because I think that one's really easy to understand, is that when you do have like your authentication and your login piece coupled together with your shopping cart piece, coupled together with, let's say, image caching, like in the monolithic sense, if one of those goes down, the whole thing is down, right? And where if you have it in microservices where you break them apart, and let's just say the image caching goes down, you can still keep your authentication and your shopping cart up. So, exactly. And that's a really great use case for it. And going back to the family analogy that you brought up, is when I was watching the session, I was thinking, it's a great analogy on how everybody is like the 1950s family, where everybody's, kind of one unit. And they're going apart now to a bunch of different units, which is right. But I was thinking, well, how can I make my cat more dependent on me? He's totally, he's out there doing his own thing. But how can I make him, want to hang around me? But that's a totally, totally different story. So, so one of the things that you mentioned was about modernization. Like, we're modernizing things. So I guess, can you explain, elaborate a bit more about what you mean by modernization here?
Definitely. Let's think about as we modernize our old home versus buying a new home. So in this case, there could be different reasons. You want more energy efficient. It's not fulfilling your current needs. Similarly, something you need to look for your software applications, whether they are appropriate for your current needs, as we discussed earlier. So here in terms of this discussion, we are thinking about probably, let's say you may want to move your applications to cloud. Are your current applications ready for that? So there are two approaches we can talk about. One is lift and shift, where you are thinking about operational modernization. You don't make changes to your application or even the runtime. You just, you know, take the same application, you probably want to containerize it and move to the cloud. The second approach is refactor. You want to refactor your code into microservices, as we talked about, where you create your smaller services, which are, again, independent. They can scale individually. So refactoring is a could be a great way also. And actually, I work on a tool which is called Mono2Micro. IBM has Mono2Micro, which helps you analyze your monolithic application. It takes into consideration your use cases. So you have to give all that data, your code, and then it analyzes to tell you if the classes, how the classes are being called and how they are in your application, to see if whether it makes sense to split it into microservices, as well as if you have to split, how would you split, like which classes will go together in a service.
And that Mono2Micro application, when you were telling me about it, I didn't know about it before you let me know. And it blew my mind about that. You can just feed in your application and all of a sudden it analyzes it, like you said, where all the method calls and so on. And it lets you know about how to partition it from your monolith or not. And yeah, that's super cool. And it's definitely something that folks should check out. We'll include a link to it in the notes for this episode. So going back to the lift and shift. So that is, you're going to just take your monolith, the existing application you have, where everything is just kind of bundled in one. You're just kind of going to bring that up to the cloud, essentially, or just kind of move that up to the cloud. And then is that kind of getting that one correct?
That's exactly right. And there could be reasons when you don't have resources to split your application to microservices. So this might be the first step. See, if you move your application to cloud, you're still making use of like all your integrated logging, monitoring tools. So you have still one place where you have your infrastructure. So you are gaining some advantages, and see how well it works, and then slowly think about converting it into microservices.
Okay. So you could go lift and shift and then start refactoring, or you could just start refactoring right away if you wanted to. Really?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say we did make the decision that we want to go to a microservice straight away. So what are some of the design considerations that we want to take into consideration when we do that?
Sure. I think that's a great question, because it's very important, right, that we focus on the correct design. We don't want to end up with a distributed monolith, right? So the first thing would be, you want to make sure that your microservices are small, independent, and loosely coupled. Second, you want to make sure that your data handling is done correctly. You don't want to have a central database. Each microservice should be responsible for its own database as well as its own schema, so that if you change a schema for a microservice, you don't have to worry about changing other microservices. The next one would be intercommunication between microservices. I think that's a very important aspect of designing your microservices. You want to think about whether you want to do synchronous HTTP calls or asynchronous messaging calls. Understand your business application and decide what would work the best for you. The next one, imagine you have now hundreds, thousands of microservices. I think logging and monitoring would be very important to consider. So you need to have some central way of doing that. I think the last one, I would just say that although one of the biggest advantage we talk about for microservices is that you can choose like different technology or different language for each microservice, something you want to think about whether you still may want to restrict your choice of technologies versus just giving freedom to any team, because it can get complicated.
And so what you just kind of described there is that you got me excited about it and that we do have like freedom, but you also got me super scared because I think the complexity could ramp up super quickly. So I'm gonna back up a little bit. And so let's talk about the small loosely coupled microservice. So what we're talking about here is that one microservice, it shouldn't be dependent upon anything else. Is that correct in that regard?
Definitely. So here what we are thinking about is that, let's say we made a change in a booking service for airline application. So when you change that, the other microservices don't have to change. If this microservice is scaling, the others don't need to do that. So they don't need to be aware of what's other. They call each other to run the your application, but they don't need to change and scale. They can be updated. So you can update one microservice without updating others.
And that's a really good point, is that you can just update one. So like your booking service, you can update that if you have like you're running a sale or something like that, or a new airline route becomes available. And you could scale that out. You can make it more available if you're getting a lot of inquiries or something like that, but not have to do that for another one because they're not related. So, and that's a benefit. Okay. So I'm not so scared right now, but so data handling. So you mentioned that each microservice now is going to have its own separate database because they are completely independent. Makes sense. So, all right. So I'm okay with that too. but that is a good point to drive home. And that's something I guess I didn't, when I first started to learn about microservices, I always, you know, because you're coming from a monolith background, you just have like one big relational database sitting there, but that's different now. And you have to really consider having different ones. Right. But the inter-process communication, that it kind of gets tricky there, I think, where you're kind of, you know, so I guess if you can explain, like, what's the difference between synchronous and asynchronous communication a little bit? When would I want to consider one?
Definitely. So in monolithic application, you have all the components within, you know, deployed together, right? So all the calls, you still have modules. So don't get me wrong, right? So we still have modular approach, still they are talking to each other, but these are all internal calls. So when we move to microservices, now they could be deployed. They are deployed independently. They still, to do the business logic, they still need to talk to each other. So we can decide how they are going to talk. So to make them really loosely coupled, asynchronous is a way where you call it and you don't have to wait for the response back from the other microservice. So you let it be. For synchronous, you make a call, but the calling microservice is still waiting for the response back. So if you can, I think asynchronous is more loosely coupled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that makes sense. And then the last point you brought up was the, I guess we'll call the technology freedom, where you give one team that can develop in, let's say, .NET or C#, and another team's developing in Java, but that might not be such a great idea to let teams go all over the place for you know, obviously a couple of different reasons, in that, like, I'm not an expert in Java. And so if I had to help support an application in Java, it wouldn't be good. So I guess that's a good design consideration to take into account. So have you been on any teams where it's been like that, where you've had, you know, I guess, a mess of different frameworks and languages?
Actually, from testing perspective, like for Acme year, so sometimes we have implementation of microservices using different technologies just to get a try. So, but I do see that, like, you know, you are hiring new employees which are much more comfortable with Python and other things, and they don't want to work in Java or other languages you might have, and that might be a good reason. Or you may find that the service you are writing could work more efficiently. You may be able to develop it more quickly in a certain language because you have libraries. So there could be very good reasons. But at least we have a choice of doing that if we decide. But in case of monolithic, we are tied to the runtime. We are tied to the same language.
Okay. So it's really, when we're talking microservices, it's like the dial. You know, you're kind of making trade-offs between complexity versus simplicity, and it's, you have to pick, you're not picking one, but you're kind of tuning in to where, how much complexity you want to accept versus how much benefit you can get from it.
I love the way you said, like, you have to see which, where do you feel the balance, right? When turning it on, there is not a, I think, a perfect solution for this. So you have to kind of play, start somewhere and play around with it.
Okay. So so you work for Microsoft, or Microsoft, you work for, I work for Microsoft, but you work for IBM. So IBM, you do testing there and work with the testing team, but does IBM have like any frameworks or tools that can help me out when I start building microservices that can make life easier for us?
Definitely. IBM has lots of products, but for our discussion today, I'll focus on a couple of products which I'm directly involved in. First, I'll talk about Open Liberty, which is a application server runtime. It implements MicroProfile, which is a great framework to write microservices, especially for Java developers. It's also very small footprint, great for running in containers. And you can run Open Liberty applications into Azure and other clouds. So we have actually blogs, and I have provided links for that as well. And also there is an Open Liberty operator which can be used to deploy those applications into Kubernetes. So the other one I talked about is Mono to Micro, which is for your journey from monolith to microservices. And we have another one for lifting and shifting your Cloud Foundry applications to OpenShift. And we also have IBM Cloud Garage methodology, which helps you, you know, design your applications correctly for cloud as well.
Cool. And like Open Liberty is it's, as you mentioned, it's like an application framework. And what's cool about it is that you can containerize it, and then you can deploy it to essentially your cloud of choice, or you can run it on premise. Is that correct too? If you have your own application server,
that's correct. So you have a choice of running on prem, or you can run on containers, cloud, you know, different cloud providers, public, private.
And that's another great thing about these microservices is that you can, it's that dial. You can, you know, pick where you need to tune it in from, and they still can communicate wherever you need it from. And I have a question about Mono to Micro. Does it need to be Java based, or can it work with any framework?
I have used it in Java applications, and I'm pretty sure that right now it's for Java applications.
Okay.
But yeah,
so I'm going to have to relearn Java just so I can use it. I mean, it sounds super cool. I can't wait. So is there ever a time, though, like, I guess there's a lot of fear of missing out when, you know, like you hear the microservice architecture and you want to move to it, but sometimes you can't. And so would we ever want to keep that dial down to zero and keep it, or see, down to zero is a bad word, but keep it down to all the way to monolith? Like, so are there times when I want to stay with the monolith application?
I think there is, because if we are trying to solve a problem here. So if you don't, if your application is small enough, working great for your environment, I would say don't worry about changing it. Or just we could, as we talked about, lift and shift, right? See if that works for you. Some of the other reasons people may not want to move could be security considerations, right? Now you have communication between these services, so you have to be aware of that. Or your team may not have skills yet to move to microservices, or your return on investment might be too high. So you have to, too low, right? So you have to consider those factors before moving to microservices.
Okay, yeah. So it's always, you have to sit down and think about it before you just rush into it, because it could be too costly, the way the cost versus benefit. And the security concerns is a big one, because I used to work for a state government, and there is private data that you don't want to potentially get out there. And so that's definitely something you think of, because microservices do have to talk to each other. So, all right. So I made a decision. I want to go to microservices, but I have a monolith. So do I have to do everything at once? Do I have to move everything at once, or can I slowly start refactoring? So what's I guess not the process, but I guess, do I need to go all at once?
That's an excellent question, and I don't think that you have to go at once. So it depends, again, on your business application, how critical it is. There are different patterns to deal with the same. There is an interesting one for moving your application slowly. It's called Strangler Fig. This pattern is inspired by how fig trees grow. They start very small on top of a host tree and slowly grow and reach the ground. And once they reach the ground, they keep on growing and eventually kill the host tree. So this is something which can be, same pattern can be applied in this case, because now you are starting with something which are not as critical, right? Convert some parts into microservices and then slowly go through that iterative process.
Monica, you have me scared of microservices again now that they're going to strangle me and strangle my apps. But that's a good analogy, is that you don't have to go all the way. I mean, you can start, you know, picking and choosing of what you have. And I guess one of the things that I've been thinking about as we've been talking is that you can go back if you needed to. You can start making your changes to one service. And I guess this is a question for you. I mean, do I need to stick with something? I make a decision to change, let's say, my booking service from, you know, break that out of my monolith. But is there any reason why I have to, once I make my decision to jump to a microservice, am I stuck there? Or can I kind of bring it back in if I need to?
I would say you could, right? It's a matter of deployment, right? So if you had routed your traffic towards microservice, so for whatever reason it doesn't work, you could always route it back, right? That's the beauty of microservice, right? You can decide, even when you're making upgrades, you can slowly transition into your new microservice. So same way, I see your question the same way. If something is not working, you can just go back to your older way until you're ready to make the transition again. What do you think?
I think so. I mean, I guess one thing that I have a older house that I'm, you know, trying to slowly fix up. And one thing that I've learned is don't try to force something that's not working. Just don't keep on, you know, pushing through. Don't be afraid to back up and find out why whatever you tried to fix isn't working. You know, back up and see the real reason why. And you, I think you learn more that way if you try to uncover what might not be working.
I think that's a very interesting point. And I saw that some of the companies are going back from microservices back to, monolith or macroservices. There might be a reason that you want to combine your services back into a bigger service again to avoid the overhead. Like if there are two microservices which are just calling each other, you may want to, join them, make single service so that they have now internal calls rather than overhead of services communication. So, yep.
And I think that's a good point, is that you shouldn't be afraid to change things once you find out how things are working in the real world. Even though you sat down and you thought everything through, once you see it working, it might be different, So yeah. it's totally okay to evolve as you see your application in the real world.
Definitely.
Cool. So one thing that I thought of also is that when I was watching your presentation is we have things called functions, like Azure has Azure functions, which are just real tiny things. And microservices are real tiny things. So what's the difference between a function and a microservice? It's
Right. We both, we talk about both being focused on a small task. So sometimes the boundaries may blur on how small you want to do, but I see function as a small task which get triggered on an event, and also functions being deployed more serverless on a cloud, on a public cloud, where the cloud is taking care of all the infrastructure needs for your function. So you just go write your code and you pay as depending on how many times that is called, as opposed to microservices, which are more for a bigger business, logic, as well as they can be running on premises or other places.
Okay. And yeah, so with a function, you're kind of tied with a vendor lock-in. Yep. When you do it. Where a microservice, exactly. As we mentioned before, you can do it where it makes most sense for you.
Yeah.
And whether that's on-prem and in a public cloud or wherever. So it gives you a little bit of freedom as well.
Right. Like, for example, IBM Cloud has a way you can, define infrastructures for having your functions defined. So okay. Most of the cloud providers have a way to create functions.
Okay. And that's okay. That makes a lot of sense then. All right. So, so if we're looking, so let's kind of start wrapping up then. So if we're looking microservices kind of is a architecture where it's easy to develop, because we can split it up. We can have a team that's totally good with they're experts in networking service and they're experts with Java, and we can have and they can deploy independently of another team that's, they do the image caching, let's say, and it's Python for whatever reason. I don't know what Python would do image caching, but still, and image caching can go completely separately. So that's a really nice architecture for it. But so can you give us like some key takeaways about the microservices or what you really wanted to drive home with your session?
Definitely. So if you want your applications to be easier to develop, deploy, scale, test, microservices is a good architecture to look into. But there are a few things we need to think about. First is why. Why are you even thinking about microservices? What problem you are trying to solve? Don't feel like you are staying behind, and that should not be the right reason for you to move to microservices, and see the problems, how they will be solved by microservices, and also what new challenges, design issues you need to take care of. So it's very good, important to do that analysis. The second point I want to make is your team culture and team structure ready for microservices? Because we don't want to have a big, tightly coupled team and work on microservices, because it won't work effectively that way. So there is a term used, which is like you should be able to feed two pizzas to your team, which is working on a microservice. So you should be ready to have loosely coupled teams as well. So I would like to, you know, just conclude by saying that you have to start somewhere when you're thinking about microservices. So see what makes sense. It may not be the most, you know, small microservices you're where you want to be, but if you think you feel more comfortable at some place, go for it. And this is something which will evolve over time as the needs of your business application evolve and change.
All right, that's cool. And I think we did spend a lot of time today like talking about why you should consider microservices, but your session really did a good job of explaining, well, not only the why, but also the how of microservices. So it's really, really great to check out this session. And I know we'll put a link to it with the show notes for this talk. And so Monica, thank you very much for joining us today. I mean, I enjoy talking to you all the time, and I'm going to be checking out Mono the Micro. That's a great tool. I love it. Just the idea of it. So great. Thank you very much, Monica. And glad that you could join us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Matt.
Great. So April, what do you think? Should we put some microservices and some examples that we're building with Power Apps?
I think so. I think that'd be cool. And thank you for asking my burning question. The difference between microservices and functions. I was wondering that myself. So now that's all clear. So I'm happy. Cool. All right. Well, thank you to you both, Matt and Monica. And of course, I mean, this has been so fun. I don't know about you all, but I've had a really fun time here. We talked about so much stuff, microservices, predictive maintenance, process improvement. So I want to have a big special thank you to our guests, Monica, Banu, Sarah, and our cloud advocates, Cassie and Matt, for joining us in this conversation today. So if you're interested in learning more, be sure to check out our collection of resources on Microsoft Learn. The link will be in the show notes there, aka.ms/act-w/resources. And we also welcome you to participate in the Cloud Skills Challenge that we have going on until August 26th. So get your name on the leaderboard there and participate with that. Visit aka.ms/act-w/challenge to participate in that. And finally, of course, if you want to get more involved in the ActW organization and the community and support this amazing cause, be sure to check out their website, act-w.org, and sign up to become a member. Thank you again for all of the guests in this conversation, and we'll catch you next time.